You can copy me.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do put Dave first, I guess. Are you instigating still?
No, I'm not. I'm all doing right. The thing you told me to do.
All right. We're live though. Starting soon screen. Did you see the starting soon screen?
Wait. I love that even more than last one. You're getting so, I love that you're just gonna put that on every single one now.
Well, her face, oh, I just added it because it's like, oh, Dinah's head, whatever, I'll throw it in there. But now it's like,
It freaking fits, though.
I'm fitting it into the pictures.
Man.
Yeah.
That is, yo, Erica, I gave you too much power with that photo.
Oh, shoot. We're live.
So funny.
We're live. For those watching live in the chat, we appreciate you. If you can, be a dear and go ahead and... tweet us out, share us.
All right, mom.
Be a dear, will you?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So what's up, you guys? Let's go ahead and switch over. What's up, everybody?
Hello.
That sounded like the saddest hello, Char. You good?
I'm just so distracted right now. I'm so distracted, bro. Okay, wait, I need
clearly.
One more.
Clearly.
Right. She hit us with that question before we
she
started.
She hit us with the make a thing right before the stream started, and I'm like, all right, give me like 3 minutes, and she's like, no, we're live, hello. And I'm like, oh, God.
Look, in this industry, Char, you gotta be on your toes.
What industry?
Be ready to go. I'm training you.
You think I'm a part of the industry.
I threw a curveball at these two for all you guys listening. I'm like, by the way, we have this topic at the end of the show. Go ahead and come up with some games to answer this question. So I kind of threw it at them right before we went live.
God. So rude.
Yeah.
Honestly, so rude.
Char is triggered.
There's so many games that came out this year. This is insane. Okay, sorry. This is like really hard now. Because there's games I want there to be there, and then there's not going to be games that are like, okay.
Shout out to the chat. What just happened said, yo, Erica, great job on Game On Daily. Appreciate that. I was on there earlier as a guest. I love those guys. They're great. I always have a good time over there. And that chat was popping, kind of coming at me a little bit. I liked it.
Yeah.
You were getting a little spicy. Yeah. We were talking about like Battlefield and how Ubisoft uses the same template all the time, and I brought up From Software.
Boy.
I was like, look, this is a developer that keeps things, you know, familiar yet evolves.
Sure.
And they came at me a little bit, tested me a little bit.
They came at you.
Of course I won. Nah, but shout out to them, Game On Daily. One of these days I'm gonna have them on. Great guys. But for tonight though, we're here, episode 57. Char.
Yes.
We're almost to 69.
Damn. No, we're not.
Not that close.
So far.
I mean.
Actually, so far.
It's coming up. It's coming, though.
No, it's not.
Technically.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, what the hell?
Because I'm looking at the episode number. It's because I have ideas of like.
You mean 59.
59, yeah, 59.
Okay, episode 59 is coming up.
Dude, why you gotta make everything sexual, though?
I didn't. Like, I'm just, because I have an idea.
You just did!
Look. We have a guest that's was a patron member who still is due to have a guest appearance, and I'm going to have him on that day. That's all I'm going to tell you for now. Anyways, we're here, episode 57.
We all know who it is anyways. So.
The backlog. We're here with a special guest, but Char, go ahead and say hello first.
I already said hello. Hi, hello. It's me. I'm Char. I'm here. Hello, everybody.
Everybody loves Char. No.
The lies right now, but okay.
And we have our returning guest, friend of the show, Super Metal Dave. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up? Looking forward to talk about Metroid.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're the expert. You've been playing it. We're going to get into that. But first, let me just remind everybody listening, we do have audio on demand. If you don't catch us live, we're on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor. And we also have a Twitter and all kinds of different stuff that we keep up all the time, Char.
It's so up to date. So we tweet once every 2 weeks.
Hey, it's about as consistent as our show, so I say we're doing pretty good.
Hey,
it's pretty good. Actually, pretty good. Actually, but the backlog pod is pretty much where you guys can find us. And again, shout out to the chat. But yeah, let's talk about what we've been playing. I think Char should go first because we'll leave Metroid for segue. So what's up? What you been playing?
I mean, I just playing the same stuff as I said last time. I'm playing like Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, and then Star Ocean First Departure. What else did I play? I got back into Genshin Impact a little bit, so I'm playing that on the side, just doing dailies. That's pretty much it. I'm trying to like not look at my huge list of games that I'm in the middle of right now. It's rough. It's really rough. But yeah, that's pretty much all I, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're always in the middle of like a few. It's never just one.
A few?
With you. But it's never just one. It's like, well, I'm in this thing.
Like 10.
Yeah, and I'm dabbling over here, and then I started this thing, and then I got Retro Day, and it's like, it's a whole thing.
I'm worse than Erica.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you complete more than I do, so it's like...
It's a trade-off.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Me really quick, I'll just briefly go. I've been playing that Buggy Filled 2042 beta. I've been playing that. We're going to talk about that later. Last time we were here, I was talking about Kena, right? Let me just go ahead and confess something.
Did you not finish
that game?
What happened?
I smell a drop.
I kind of dropped it.
Oh my God.
I was playing it. I got past a difficult boss. It was actually difficult. I beat the boss. I forget the name of it.
And you put it down?
It's the one everybody's struggling with. I forget the name. Corrupted something?
I don't know.
Beat that. And then I kind of started feeling like I was getting headaches from the motion blur, right? I was kind of low-key, like I was pushing through it, and I was kind of getting like a headache or like not feeling well.
Is there an option to turn it off?
Well, they did an update. A patch to fully like turn it off. This happened like this week, and I was like, okay, cool, I'll go back to it. But Battlefield happened, so I've been playing that. And then my plan was to play Metroid, but then I had my situation, my power cord got lost, the Switch is just, it's a mess. It's coming tomorrow, guys. Update, I'm getting my power cord tomorrow, so I'll be on Metroid tomorrow. But my plans just kind of got all crazy, and I was like, dude, how am I gonna finish Kena? Metroid coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing other things. I was making videos. Mm. I was streaming. Battlefield. Mm. I'm like, Char, am I dropping this game?
So, I'm not angry. I'm disappointed.
I don't think it's going to be forever, though. I know people will doubt me and be like, yeah, right, Erica.
Sure, 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 yeah.
I'm pretty far in. Like, I've been playing it. It's just, I just got to make that first step to coming back. And then I'll come back.
I've heard some people say that game is kind of frustrating towards the mm-hmm. latter half, and they quit, basically.
Really? Oh, mm-hmm. I don't think I'm really there yet for what they're talking about. At least
you just said that you just beat a really hard boss, though.
Unless that's what they're talking about, I'm not sure. Maybe it's that.
Maybe it's that, and then after that too.
I don't know.
Yeah, like the gameplay is like frustrating. They said it's like not really. Mm. It gets kind of weird later on.
And this is why reviews and first impressions are important when you distinguish between the two, because your first impressions, they can change. And I was really praising the game. I thought it was really good, and I still think it's a good game. It's not like I think it's trash or anything. It's just that the more you play it, sometimes you change how you think, and like it does get kind of frustrating. I feel like the combat could be a little bit better, But anyways, that's kind of what I've been up to.
Are you still playing Halo?
No, that was last weekend. The test thing, it was like a big team battle. I did that last weekend. That was another reason, I was playing that, which was really fun. I streamed that and it was good. We had a good time with that. So I've been in the beta shooter vibe. That's all I've been really doing. But I want to hear about Metroid. So Dave, we got Dave here who's been playing it. Metroid Dread. highly anticipated game. It's critically acclaimed right now. What is it, 88, Dave?
Metacritic? Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about it.
Yeah, so I played it on launch night. I streamed it on my channel, actually. And interesting, you know, I want to talk about streaming a game like Metroid because I don't stream that much in the first place, but so I wasn't expecting like that huge of a crowd, but there was quite a bit of people watching that stream. But it was interesting because when you stream a game like Metroid, I totally wasn't even thinking about it, but you have to expect the backseating and the guys coming in telling you where to go next and then asking these weird questions that don't even have anything to do with the game. I was like, what is going on here? And but it was really good and fun doing that. But shout outs to you guys who stream, you know, Star and Erica there, because I don't think I could do it like how you guys do all the time weekly like that. It's just like, it's too much to keep track of while you're like, you're trying to play good. And then when a game like Metroid, you get lost and stuff like that. And you have the, you know, you feel like you're under like a time limit. You have to find something in a certain amount of time or you'll give up or something like that, you know? So Metroid is definitely a good game to play offline, I think, you know? So I know you're going to stream it, Erica, but just
yeah.
You know,
heads up,
those
kind
of games are really good, I think, to play in the dark and just like alone and isolate yourself and have a really good time doing it, because like I had a great time streaming it, but it's way, way better just like playing it offline. It's just like, it's so such a personal like experience with you and the game. But that aside though, the game is really, really cool. The controls, like obviously you've played Super Metroid, right? You have, and Char, have you played it?
I tried one of the GBA ones like way long time ago, and I couldn't get into it, but I know vaguely what the controls are.
All right. So like on Super Metroid, that was one of the criticism was the controls, is that the controls were kind of stiff, and especially that wall jumping was really like hard to do, unnecessarily hard to do for people. And thankfully in Metroid Dread, it's a simple wall jump. It works just like how you would expect. You know, hold to the side and just push the jump button and you can go all the way up, no problem. So no worries there. And then of course they have the aiming system, which is really cool because you can aim in all directions with the analog stick. But if you want the laser sight pinpoint accuracy, you need to hold the L button down, and then you can do, she stops and then aims like laser sight in that way. So that's really good.
Okay.
And there's also a really good parry mechanic, as you've seen in the trailers probably, Erica, right?
It did, yeah.
And that is like the easiest parry move to pull off in any game I think I've ever played. It's like so easy and satisfying at the same time. The enemies just flash, and as soon as they do, you just hit the parry button, and it's really rewarding. But it's a timing kind of thing, so you have to know the timing of when the enemy is going to do their attack in a certain way. So they're all kind of different like that.
Question, real quick, about what do you think makes it so easy? Is it like a big window for you to do it, or the color?
They give you like
cue.
They give you like a second to press the parry button. Okay. I guess a second, I would say. They give you like a good window to press the button when they flash. So it's not like you have no time to pull it off. So I just think it's done really well. You just have to get used to the timing of when the enemies do their attack to do it. But you don't have to do the parry though. If the parry is for some reason confusing for you and doesn't feel good, you don't even have to use it at all. You can get by with just shooting Samus's beam cannon and just doing attacks that way. So yeah, but the controls are super tight. The game is very smooth, 60 frames. It looks really good, you know, for a Switch game. Music's really good, and I don't want to spoil too much of the game, of course, but as you know, you've seen, in the previews of those Emmy robots that come after you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the dread comes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Metroid Dread, like those that can be pretty tense, like, because they're running after you, and you have to like escape them. And they really, it's a one-hit kill, basically. So if they catch you, you die instantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they do give you a split moment to do an escape maneuver. But it's basically like one frame. If you have to hit the one frame just perfectly and you can escape. Mm-hmm. So like the game kind of encourages you to just not get caught.
Yeah.
But they said if you do get caught, you can escape if you're really, really like pinpoint accurate with your timing of pressing the escape basically button there. So but yeah, like I've died a lot just from those guys because they vary in speed and they catch you and then they inject you with some like thing right in your head and kill you instantly.
Damn.
Well. So do you think that's what, I mean, if we don't want to get into it, like the difficulty whenever you want, but do you think that has to do with it? Why people think it's so difficult, that part of it?
I think the difficulty is in the Emmys a bit and also in the bosses. But the bosses are really, in my opinion, they're not that hard. I would say they're intermediate. I think they're not easy and they're not normal. They're a little bit above normal difficulty, but they're not hard, in my opinion. Mm. I don't think you'll have a problem with it. Like if you're gonna like play it, Erica,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you'll. I think you will die a few times. Sure.
Yeah.
Just
of course.
Learning the patterns of the bosses. Everyone dies.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that. But if you remember Super Metroid, you know, it's similar in how those bosses are. I would say it's a little bit harder than Super Metroid. If you're familiar with how those bosses work, it's a little bit harder than that, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, but the cool thing about Metroid is that they give you multiple ways to kill the bosses. So like, you don't have to do it in one way. You can do it in multiple ways. And if you, it's like a risk reward kind of thing. So if you take the risk and try to beat bosses a certain way, I don't want to spoil anything,
okay,
they give you more reward for doing that. So like it could like actually make the bosses easier if you do it the harder way. It's kind of weird how that works, but it's like rewards you for your more chance risk taking basically. So like, oh, you did the whatever it, you know, uh-huh, it presented for you to do, you did it, so we're gonna reward you by making by having the boss die quicker basically.
Right, so you're doing like maybe more damage by taking a risk, mm-hmm, for some greater attack or something.
Yeah, or okay, you can, you know, sit back and you can kind of like, you know, play the defensive game and just like chip away,
mm-hmm,
and you can survive that way and get by, but it'll take a lot longer in some of these bosses basically. And you know just learning the patterns and stuff like that. But I wouldn't say it's hard because like a lot when you die in that game, it's very much your fault pretty much. Like I wasn't really blaming the controls or the boss. It's just being like super cheap. It was more just me learning the pattern and like learning what I should be doing instead of like trying to force my own way of playing. Cause like, a lot of times we do that in these games where we have our own mindset of how the game should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of like say, I'm going to play it this way and see what happens. And the game you get killed by the boss. So like, oh, okay, the game wants me to play in this way, so I'm gonna have to adjust my way of play so I can win. So that's kind of like what it is. It's just like going from Sekiro, from Dark Souls,
right?
You know, you have to adjust how you play. You can kind of get by in the old way, but you have to still adjust to really be better at the game.
Totally.
And that's what Metroid, yeah, Dread is like. You have to, it's not just another Metroidvania. It's because it is Metroid, but it's like they're taking it to the next level. Like they're throwing everything at you and they're upping the ante big time. And the map is absolutely insane. I've never seen a map like that.
Damn.
In any of these Metroidvania type games. It's totally crazy. So you will get lost, I guarantee it.
Oh.
And it's okay to get lost.
Right.
Just take a break. And also, this is the kind of game where you need to like bomb everywhere and shoot the walls and like look around, because there's always a way to get around something where you think it's impossible. If you're stuck, I encourage you to just like chip away maybe and search the areas and you'll find an opening. Because one of the guys tweeted at me today and saying that he almost was going to give up because he thought the game was broken because he was trapped. He was trapped in this certain area in the game.
Huh.
And I said back to him, I said, just shoot around you and check, you know, the ground and everything, and maybe you'll get through. And then he tweeted back at me later. He's like, that was it. And he was like, so happy.
That's so cool. Yeah. It's
one of those things. It's one of those games you have to really be aware of your surroundings, and the game sometimes it's actually easier than what it appears to be, even like, oh, I was expecting it to be this way, mm-hmm. but then you just find another little thing up there and it's actually even easier than that. So it's like that kind of stuff. You just gotta be aware, take your breaks and don't get too frustrated being lost, because it will happen.
Yeah, I fully expect that. I mean, Metroidvania comes from Metroid, you know, like just bringing up the map. When you say the map is crazy, like, do you mean like it's just the size of it, like it's just huge, or is it like
it's big?
Super, I see the map.
It's huge.
Shh, dang.
And
how many areas are there? There's like, I don't remember.
I don't want to spoil it, but yeah. I believe there's, you know, 5 or 6 areas, something like that. But there, okay. Each and every area has a gigantic, crazy map in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, dang. Just try. I mean, I was overwhelmed actually today.
Really?
I was like, now I gotta go here. I gotta go. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. But also, I was excited at the same time because there's just so much to do in the game. And the game gives you the tools to get those things done too. And also, it also gives you the upgrades you need to go faster as well, without spoiling anything.
Mm.
But the second half of the game, which I'm at right now, the game is just, it's just amazing. I just love it. It's just one of those games where it really keeps pulling you in and pulling you in. You get so many different abilities. It just transforms into something else completely. Oh. It's like a transformative game. It starts out like, yeah, this is really cool. And then I'm like, oh, wow, this. Just keeps going and going and going.
That's
so
cool.
It's very much like, it's not like one of those games where you just like play it for a couple hours and like, yep, that's the game. Now I know what to expect for the entire game. It's not like that. It's really done just amazingly well like that. They did a fantastic job designing that game.
Nice. Good to hear, because I've been you know, anticipating this game, and I love Metroid, and just from hearing you say, like, you know, you get one thing and it just goes and goes and expands, and getting lost isn't that bad because it's like you can explore, you can do all these different things and then find little, you know, shortcuts and stuff, and that's what it's all about. Like, when I play new Metroidvania inspired type games, that's what makes me like them or not. Like, if I feel like I'm going to get lost, I'm going to die, it's going to be kind of difficult and stuff like that. But if I'm enjoying like finding new things and like finding these secrets and all that, that's what really, I think, gets me to love the genre in general. So like,
uh-huh.
I was going to ask.
Also,
like,
I was going to say.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say too, though, if you do get lost for some reason, another tip for these type of games, and especially in this game, is to just backtrack and go back to a different area, even. Go back to an area like, oh yeah, I just got this item or I got this ability that allows me to go in a certain area in the other place. So when you do that, the game will then open up possibly more things for you to progress in the other part that you got stuck in. So you got to think three-dimensionally, basically. Like, think outside the box of where you are just in that one area in the game if you're stuck. Think about where you were and think about what things you couldn't do before and what abilities you just got so you can get past mm-hmm. those areas. And the backtracking is just so perfectly well done in this game, too. It feels like you have all the choices in the world, but also the game has a certain path it kind of wants you to go at the same time. But you never feel like you're being forced in that direction. But there is, it is a more linear experience in that sense. And I appreciate that because the game is so complex in the map that I appreciate a more linear type of game like that, with how the story progresses and pushes you forward. So it's really good, really well done.
Yeah, I'm watching your gameplay right now, and you did, you know, you died a couple times, and you were talking about how the chat was just kind of mm-hmm. backseating and stuff like that. And so since you streamed it the first night or a couple times, like, have you just been going off stream gameplay since?
So what I did was I deleted that save completely and started over from the beginning after that stream, because I was stopping and I was like, not, mm-hmm. I didn't want that to affect my playtime
uh-huh.
to get a realistic experience of how long the game was to be, because I was taking my time with it and doing the stuff in that stream. That was basically just for my audience to see. I wanted to experience the game with my audience for the first time, and that was really special. It's been 20 years since a new Metroid game.
Yeah.
So they were they were backseating, and I was like, what is going on? The game
just came out
like 2 hours ago, like an hour ago. It was 9 p.m. Pacific time. Then by 10 p.m. I was getting backseating. Like, no, don't go that way. Go this way. What are you
doing? Literally, I've got two friends. Like, one's been playing it for like a couple of days, and then the other one started yesterday. So there's like definitely a discrepancy of like when people got their game. It's insane.
Huh.
Well, people were actually pirating the game and getting it early and beating it before it came out.
Yeah,
that's a thing too.
So mm-hmm. I knew that was a thing, but still, I wasn't expecting the guys in the chat to be like, no, go this way. And then one guy totally spoiled it for me by telling me when I was going to get a certain item. And I was like, dude, don't do that. Like, just don't tell me when I'm going to get certain items in this game. This is my first time playing. Hello.
It's so crazy. Like, I never understand what's going through their minds with that. I mean, it's day one. It's launch night. It's your first time playing it, clearly. And you're just trying to enjoy it, and they're like really telling you when you're getting stuff. And like, it's
damn
like
superiority.
It even says in my title, first time playing.
That's why.
In caps, all caps too. And guys are like, oh, you're gonna get this in a little bit. No, don't go that way. And then I'm like,
so did you tell him like, hey, no backseating? Like, did you give him warnings and like tell him? Yeah, and they still did it.
Yeah, I
don't even give him warnings.
Well, after that, they kind of shut up. I was like, I made him feel guilty. I said, don't backseat, guys. I said, let me figure it out on my own. Then I gave him an example. I said, when people do that, because I said this in the stream, I've seen streamers do that. With the chat, they'll be so like afraid to yell at their chat that they will actually go along with them, and they'll stop every 5 seconds and look at the chat. Where do I go next? Where do I go next? And it's like, it totally ruins the experience for the streamer and for the chat, because the chat has to do work and then pull the streamer along to make them go the right way. And the streamer's not even playing the game. They're just listening to the chat at that point.
Yeah.
And I told them that, and then they stopped. They felt guilty.
On top of it too, if they end up going that route, which is already bad, but you have that delay too. So you're like, the streamer is going to be sitting there waiting for the chat to catch up. Like, okay, now I'm here. Now where do I go? You know, it throws off everything.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
It's worse on YouTube too. It was more of a delay even there. So there's no point to try to backseat, especially on YouTube live streaming. Don't even bother. And especially if you're trying to beat a boss, there's no point in trying to backseat a person trying to beat a boss in a Metroid game like that either. I was watching another stream, which is the Fighting Cowboy today, trying to beat one of the bosses in Metroid Dread. And the chat was like, try this, try that. And he was like, dude, it's like he said, it's like trying to text while driving. Like, I can't read the chat while I'm trying to beat a boss.
Yeah.
So like, just don't do it, you know?
And we talked about it before, I think, at some point on this show, but like, I like to see the streamer struggle a little bit. Like, you know, I don't like to tell them anything for one, but just, it's just in the way of a viewer and like the experience of like entertainment, I would like to see them struggle and then figure it out. And then they gradually chip away like, oh, cool. And then they do it. And you're like, okay, cool. Congrats. But it's like, people, I noticed with certain viewers, and I've had a few of these over my time on Twitch and stuff, like, they want you to beat it fast. Like, they're just like, Erica, I remember the one time,
the wrong stream.
I'll always remember that Jedi Fallen Order game, and I was playing on the highest difficulty. I died like two or three times at a boss. Somebody was telling me to lower the difficulty. And I'm like, dude. I wasn't even frustrated. Like, I'm just playing the game. I could see if I was like really upset and like, oh, I just don't want to, I don't want to fight this boss, but I was having a good time. And I was like, dude, I'm good. Don't worry about it. Like, don't you want to see me like play? I don't know. It's just people. I don't know. We're not all the same, I guess.
If I was streaming Super Metroid and I was like not knowing where to go, I could understand people being like, dude, don't you know how, like, what's going on? This game's been out for 25 years.
Right.
Like, I can understand that. I wouldn't even be streaming the game if I didn't know how to play that one. But for a brand new game like that, that just came out like an hour like before and people were already doing that, I was like, man, I wasn't expecting that. But yeah, but overall, like, it was few and far between, but it was enough to like just be a little annoying. Overall, though, the live stream is really, really good. It was like super fun to do that with my audience.
That's
so
cool. That's good.
Yeah. I got no real complaints other than that, but it was good.
Especially
it was overall good.
Especially
good
since you're your channel's like very focused on like Metroid, so like but the build up towards the game, and then you're finally it's out and then you're streaming it. I'm sure your viewers liked it and really enjoyed
Oh yeah. Yeah,
it.
they were happy with it. I think some of the guys that came on were people I'd never even seen before. Like because the game comes out, people search the game and they want to see what's going on. So I didn't even know some of those guys who were chatting. So yeah, it's one of those things. Just gotta deal with it.
We have a super chat. It's about Metroid. Maybe you could chime in, Dave. From Tunde. He says, I think the area Super Metal Dave is talking about will probably get many, many players to quit. The game doesn't give much explanation to proceed. Do you know what he's talking about?
I think so. I don't want to spoil it, of
Yeah, I
course, but
know.
like it's. I think so. There is a point in the game where it gives you this place to go, basically, and it seems like it's a complete dead end. And then when you go back to the other area, it's another dead end. I think that's what the part he's talking about. And it's like, I think that's where people were getting stuck.
Makes sense. Yeah, because I was curious about that. Like, I'd seen, a couple tweets, like, oh, this game is really hard. And I was just always thinking, well, I wonder if they don't have a lot of Metroid experience or something. Or maybe,
Fair.
that it's just, that's why I asked you, like, about the difficulty. If you say it's not that hard, then
Don't
it's probably
know.
not that hard. I'm
I
assuming.
think I think people were expecting this because it's a Nintendo game. They expect it to be super easy. Because let's be frank, a lot of Nintendo games are pretty easy, on the bosses especially. So I think they were going into this game expecting it to be like a Kirby game, maybe, or a Yoshi game. Maybe you die once, maybe, or maybe you don't die ever. No, this game actually needs you to actually know how to play a platforming game. You have to have fast responses. You have to know how to dodge and duck and evade certain, bombs coming at you and th things getting shot at you. You can't just you're not a bullet sponge either. If you take damage, you will die. So like you need to actually be good at gaming a little bit. Better than average, I would say.
And without spoiling, of course, like I'm just assuming it's probably some escaping you gotta do, because Metroid, you do that kind of stuff. And maybe that's just for some who aren't used to that kind of stuff, it's kind of difficult. I remember playing Samus Returns on the 3DS. Dude, the hand cramps I was having. So I was actually seeing some tweets about this game being hard, and I was saying, like, are you sure it's harder than my hand just completely cramped like this on the 3DS? Because that was rough, like trying to escape in that game. Because I'm trying to, at least now I'll have like a controller, I'll be on the Switch, it'll be a little bit easier on my hands. I'm just excited about that.
I'm playing on the Pro Controller, the Switch, and it's a dream. It feels
Yeah, I'm
great.
sure, yeah.
And I wanted to play with the D-pad too, but the game doesn't allow that because, there's reasons for it. You'll find out when you play the game. There's reasons why, as you progress. But it's an analog stick game only to control, and I was kind of worried about that at first. But I was blown away at how smooth it felt. So,
It looks smooth, the 60 frames, like I'm watching it. I mean, I've seen some gameplay. It looks really smooth.
yeah, I was I'm I'm I've been blown away with the controls. So it does take some time to get used to. Okay, so give it a good, hour or so to get used to how the game controls. Even though it's you would say like what can it how could it be so different? Trust me, just you got to get used to switching between aiming, like laser sight aiming and regular aiming, and then like the jumping and certain maneuvers. You just have to give it time to get used to. Once you do though, it feels so good.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm getting more excited for my power cord tomorrow. I'll probably what I'll end up doing is like streaming like the first hour or two, and then kind of take the rest on my own. If anything, I might just play it all off stream. We'll see. But what about you,
Yeah, and
Shari?
also
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
just real
Go
quick,
ahead.
though, just one heads up about the Emmy encounters in that game. It's like they developed. It's a very much different way to play the game in those sections than it is the other part of the game. So I just want to give you a heads up about that. It's the same controls and everything like that, but the way you play the Emmys is like its own thing. So just be ready for that. It's like a different type of experience just playing the Emmys versus the regular gameplay.
I
So
see.
it's but it, but it's really cool though once you get used to how they present that aspect of the game. And how the whole like fear aspect of running through your life and everything like that comes into play. It works really well. So, but it is designed differently than how the regular game is played. So
Question.
I I think that's where some of the reviews may have had an issue with this game, were the Emmy sections. But if you just take your time and get used to how they present themselves, you'll be fine.
I was gonna ask. I know you haven't finished it yet. You're very early. Do you think this could be a Game of the Year contender?
Yes.
Ooh, I was hoping to hear that. I feel like from the outside, even though I haven't played it yet, I feel like this would be, it's going to be in there. But I don't know, Char, you said you're kind of interested in playing it? No?
No. No.
Not at all? You got to switch?
No, I don't like Metroidvania games. I like watching people play them. I love watching people play them. They're very interesting to me. But it's just not a job. I've tried to play Castlevania and stuff, and it's just like, I don't know what it is, but man, I can't do it. I don't know. Maybe it's the 2D aspect, but then it's not, because like 2D is fine to me. I don't know. It's weird.
Because
it doesn't have extra things in it where I was like, you get past the second half of the game, and like you realize at that point, I think, at least I did, that yeah, this is Game of the Year material, because it does so much. It keeps like, it does those extra things that these games do, basically, to give that little bit extra to be like, yeah, this is like one of the best games of the year.
Yeah. Ooh. I believe you.
Yeah, I'm getting more excited to play it. But yeah, Char, I remember you didn't like Hollow Knight. So yeah, you're just not really into the whole Metroidvania type.
I liked Hollow Knight fine. I just...
Did you?
I don't like the feeling of, I feel like I went to the wrong place, but I think it's correct, but it doesn't feel like it, because it feels like the difficulty spiked a little bit too high, and I was like, did I go to the right, like, you know? Yeah. And it's like, I'm fine with, like, difficulty stuff, but maybe it was because I was streaming it. I was like, okay, now I'm getting, like, tired. Like, I was getting, like tired playing it on stream. It was mentally taxing. Like, streaming, I don't know if I'll ever go back to it, but, like, it's a lot.
It could play a part for sure. I mean,
and I wouldn't say that if you're gonna play a Metroidvania game to play Hollow Knight first. Like, that game is,
oh, of course not.
It's difficult. That's a high play. Yeah.
No. If you were to ask me the most difficult games I've ever played, Hollow Knight's in the list. That's a hard game. That's a very hard game.
And I just was like, yeah, I'll play it cash. Like,
no, that's a hardcore. Like, you're gonna die. Not just die, you're gonna die in that game.
Was I dying a lot? I don't even know if I was dying a lot. But it's definitely one of those ones where it was like, that one was a little bit more ambiguous of like where, what you're doing and when you're doing stuff. Like, it's fine. I would have to look up some stuff about it though, which I don't know. I'm not a huge fan.
Metroid Dread is I think it's about 8 to 10 hours long, your first playthrough.
Not bad.
But it varies. Like, you know, Max beat it last night, Maximilian dude. He took him 9.5 hours to beat it. In game play time, actual play time was like 12 hours for him because he streams.
Yeah. Talking and stuff.
So, I think that's a good length actually, because the game is meant to be played multiple times through. And when you do beat it, it's not over, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's not really over even after you beat it. So like it's meant to be played multiple times. So it's definitely it takes very much inspiration, like, obviously, like, from Super Metroid and Metroid Fusion, so.
Yeah.
Awesome. Super Metroid's, like, one of my favorite games ever. So, happy to hear. Man. Like it, yeah, so by next episode, I'll have my, I guess, thoughts on... I'm sure I'll have beaten it by then, because I'm going to go in with it. Like, especially if I play off stream. On the Switch, yeah, I'll just cozy up on the couch. I'll get it done quick. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And then maybe go back to Kena. shoot. But we do got to talk about the game I was playing. You know, I briefly mentioned it. This beta.
Broken Field.
Oh my god.
Buggy Field. Yeah, Broken Field 2042. You guys, man, I put up a video.
What happened with that?
It's really glitchy. It's really broken. I'm sure you've heard. Everybody listening, the beta, it's open, it's going right now as we speak, so you could play it, anyone can play it, just go download it.
I'm watching you play it, yeah.
Yeah, Dave's been watching my streams, I don't know if Char seen any gameplay or anything.
I didn't, not yet.
Yeah, of course it's a beta, we all know, it's strictly talking about a beta, and it's saying it's broken doesn't mean the full game's gonna be broken, I'm hoping it's not. So... It's got people worried.
But
well, I'm trying to keep hopeful because I'm worried. I'm worried about the game a little bit. It's got some underlying issues to where it's like, yeah, there's bugs, but even besides the bugs, there's issues I have with it. Like, let me get this gameplay up so I could show everybody. But like the nades, the equipping things that I feel like should be default, like stuff like that. And just the animations in the game, I feel are really funky. They're really slow. If you're a medic and you're trying to revive people, good luck. Most of the time I did it, I always died because it takes too long or because I'm picking up weapons instead. It's the same button to pick up weapons and to revive.
I hate that. Yeah. That sounds like a big oversight. What the
hell? So, let me get this in here.
They go, oh, there's an action button. I'm going to make it the same button for everything.
It's kind of, it's like your interact button and then you have your revive if you're a medic. So it's X on the controller, for example, if you're using an Xbox controller. I've been playing a lot on PC and as fun as it can be, because it can be. I mean, it's Battlefield. I love Battlefield. I have my moments. Like, I was pretty much really playing good last night. I found a weapon I really like, and I was playing with friends. And when you get in the groove and you play it a little bit more, you work through what's happening, all the bugs, all the issues. Of course, it's like, okay, Battlefield's there. I'm starting to feel better about that, because when I first played it, and I made my video, and I was like, damn, this is really just not feeling right. It feels really off. I think because I can be very patient for something I really like and I push through the issues and just kind of played it for what it is. It's like, okay, I feel a little better in the sense of like, it feels like Battlefield a little bit more, the more I play it. Like it feels like I have hope that's growing more. And it's like, okay, let's just, you know, I just hope it launches really well because I'm going to really love it as long as, you know, certain things are changed or made better. Like I said, with the certain like animations, and they look really bad sometimes, and it takes me out of the experience and out of the immersion at times where I'm just looking around laughing at everything when I should be trying to kill everybody and take it seriously. So it sounds
very cartoony.
Yeah, it's cartoony a little bit. It sounds nitpicky. I know some people are going to be like, Erica, they're going to fix it. They're going to iron it out. It's like, yeah, I hope. But yeah, my standards are so high for this franchise. Like, I just want it to be so good because I love Battlefield and I just hope for the best. But I have been worried a bit and I know I'm not alone. I put up a tweet, Char. I don't know if you saw it. It made its rounds. It got a lot of responses. The last time I checked it had like almost, I don't know, 250 replies or something like that.
You fucking famous? Is without me telling me, man?
The likes were crazy. Like, I've had tweets that have had a lot of likes, but responses, that's probably the most I've had. It was mostly people agreeing with me, and then other people were like, oh, it's just a beta, and it's a five-month-old build. Here's the thing. I know I'm not a developer.
Yeah.
I'm just a gamer. But logically, I think about, okay, if this is a five-month-old build, why are we playing this? Like, I understand if this is normal, because I have been told that this is a normal Battlefield routine. They use the old build and they bring it back in multiple betas and somehow iron out the bugs on behind the scenes, and then the server issues get kinked out, and then they launch the game where it's like, it works at launch. It just sounds so crazy, but that's what people have told me. I haven't really had that confirmed or not.
Yeah.
DICE never said that though, right?
I don't know where they're getting it from. I actually retweeted that tweet like, hey, do we have confirmation on this? Not to discredit them, but I just wanted to know like, okay, if you're telling the truth, I want to know because that would make sense. Because Battlefield has launched pretty bad at times. Like Battlefield 4 was really broken. So it would make sense, like, oh, well, no wonder this stuff is going on.
It's not just the gameplay issues either. It's the visual glitches, too. I saw that. Weird things like those white lines coming on the screen and everything. I saw that in your stream
the parachutes. Crazy bodies in the air. But again, that's buggy stuff. Like, those could be fixed. I fully understand that. But it makes me curious, like, why would they, how would this help them now if they've already fixed these bugs and they already know about this? What about the new bugs? How are they going to know? You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't, I don't see how this is a helpful beta in that sense, I guess. But
they may have been trying to do a server stress.
I was going to say.
The only thing I could think of is that they were doing a server stress test. So, like, the actual gameplay of it, maybe they didn't. That would be the only reason why they would use a null build like that. It's just to test the servers. But
right.
I don't know. They never said anything, so we just don't know.
Yeah,
we don't really know. The only thing I've seen them say or kind of confirm is that most of these bugs are going to be fixed. Like, hey, we're aware of these bugs. We're going to fix them. But you guys get to play through them again. So it's just kind of like a weird thing. Yeah, like it's a weird process that they have. And I'm learning about it. I'm open. My ears are open if anybody can confirm exactly how this all works. But I'm just the gamer trying to play some games. And I hope it launches really well.
Yep.
We'll find out, I guess. For sure. And I tested it on everything, Shar. I was on the S, PC, and PS5.
Oh, wow. And it was all, like, basically the same?
They all had issues. The PC had less often.
Mm-hmm.
But PC, it's funny. I was calling that the Death Stranding version because there's just bodies in the air just, like, being pulled up. Kojima was pulling them up. I'm like, damn.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. And I still, after all these matches, I streamed yesterday, the day before, and then I did my video, played a bunch of matches then. I still have not seen the tornado. I don't know what's going on with that. They don't want to show me the tornado that happens like 10% of the time or something like that.
Damn.
I've never seen it. Yeah.
Not.
Darn.
It started raining. I'm like, oh, maybe the tornado. Never happened.
No.
It's just
why
rain.
Why don't you get so lucky?
yeah. But I've been, you know, it's funny in the sense of like when you're playing a beta like this with friends and you're all seeing wild stuff and you just, it's funny and it's a good time in that way. But when it gets to launch, it's going to be way more serious. Like this thing needs to work.
Yeah.
I guess I could throw this question at you guys because they threw it at me earlier when I was on the other podcast on Game On Daily talking about Battlefield. And they asked me, what's going to be the shooter to rule this holiday? Halo, Battlefield, or Call of Duty? And before you guys think about it or if you want to answer, I was kind of thinking like there's so many factors because what do you mean by rule, right? Do you mean sales? Do you mean like popularity, engagement, longevity? Reviews? And they said, yeah, which is going to review better? I'm like, damn, I don't know. What do you guys think? Because Call of Duty, we know, sells no matter what, even if it's trash, freaking buy it. Halo is going to be free to play. And then you got Battlefield, which is kind of looking shaky, $70. What do you guys think? Discuss.
For me, I think it's going to be between... it's hard to say though because the beta, we just don't know with this Battlefield.
Yeah.
It's not looking good at the moment, so I'm leaning towards it being between Call of Duty and Halo. Just because of how bad the beta looks on Battlefield, so I just don't know. But Halo I think is looking pretty good for what they've shown, so I think Halo might be the one that wins.
Ooh. I was going to say Halo too. Actually,
Halo.
I've heard everybody talking about it more than anything else, really. Seems like it's the strongest out of the three you've mentioned, so.
Yeah, Vanguard doesn't look that bad, to be honest with you. But Halo just seems like more of a... they've added a little bit more to it than just being another Halo. So,
yeah.
And Call of Duty looks just more like Modern Warfare 2019, just with new paint, so...
Mm.
Yeah, you know, hey.
That's exactly, shout out to Audible. That's exactly what Audible said last night. He says it's the same game, Modern Warfare 2019, it just has a different paint on it. The World War II. Yeah. It's crazy. Huh. So my answer was all over the place because I was like, dude, they wanted to know which would get more reviews or better reviews. And I'm just thinking like, I don't know. It's going to be interesting, to say the least, because you got Battlefield that has no campaign. Halo will have a campaign, right? Then you have Call of Duty, which is kind of like, at least in my community and like who, people watching me and who's here right now listening, I'm sure, not a lot of people care about Call of Duty or talking about it this year. But to me, I'm never fazed by that. I never discredit or downplay Call of Duty. No matter how bad it looks to me, it always ends up selling. Yeah, it sells all the time. So, yeah, I think it's just going to be that traditional Call of Duty. It's going to sell its numbers, and then the next year they're going to get another one. But like Battlefield is going to have more longevity because we're not going to get as many Battlefields. It's going to grow over time. You have that portal mode. If it works, you can customize matches. You can play against different time periods and maps, and it's a whole customizable dream for Battlefield fans. So like if that works and it turns out really well, I could see Battlefield doing better in the sense of like longevity and like community and just overall the better game.
For sure.
But Halo, you guys are pretty spot on as far as what I feel too. Halo out of the three has really shined because it feels really polished. Yeah, it had issues, especially on PC, like with me trying to stream it and all that. People had issues, but like gameplay wise, it's super snappy. People are comparing it to Halo 3. They're saying it's like Halo 3 meets Halo 5 in terms of like the gameplay, and it's like a mixture of that, and people really like that. It's fast. It's just good. So I could see Halo really impressing. I think I'm feeling convinced of it now that I've played Battlefield. I feel like even though I'll really like Battlefield when it's working, Halo I think will be the one. People are going to hit me up. Hey, Erica, you playing Halo? Halo, Halo, Halo? I think that's going to be what happens.
The thing to watch out for Battlefield is the maps and the final build. Because that map, let's be honest, is kind of lame that they have in the beta. It's way too big.
Mm-hmm.
You don't find anybody. You're just running around the whole time. So I need to see like more of what the actual like team deathmatch maps are like in Battlefield, because they do a really good job on those usually. So if it's like Battlefield 4, in that sense, that could be pretty good for Battlefield, but we'll have to wait and see. So far, Halo's looking better, though.
Yeah, I mean, maps are so important. I don't care what shooter I'm in. If the maps are really good, it's like a huge plus. So, yeah, right. I'm with you on that. The maps got to come correct, for sure. Especially for the modes and all that. But yeah, that's I guess, pretty much all we need to say about that. I'm hopeful for it. I'm not going to just write it off right now. I love Battlefield so much, and we'll just have to wait and see. It comes out next month. They delayed it a month, Char. I don't know if you remember that or not.
A month?
Yeah, a month to kind of help it with the bugs and stuff, so.
Wow, don't hurt yourself.
You going to play with me, right? Actually, no. You going to play Halo with me, free to play. Come on.
I don't want to play Halo.
Free to play, you can get your PC. We're gonna play. Or you're off the show.
I have my PC. I just need a monitor.
They're gonna add campaign co-op later. You can play with her later.
We could try it. If I don't get sick, we could try it. I'll follow you, Char. You guide me and I'll just follow you and I won't get sick.
No.
Yeah?
Oh my god.
Aw.
I don't know.
We'll I wanna see in the chat or from everyone listening. Char plays Halo with Erica. Or Char is off the podcast.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Going
okay. Okay, we're going there.
Yeah.
All right. Just kick me off for not playing a video game.
Wow. Cool. Nah, I'm not going to do that. Are you kidding me?
Wait a minute. Whose idea was it to play Destiny together? Was it Char's or Erica's?
Char.
It was
mine.
Oh, you see? So.
There's no reciprocation, Dave. It's a what?
Destiny kind of died, though. Like Destiny kind of spooky right now with what they're doing.
Whose idea was it to play Final Fantasy 14 together?
That was Erica, actually.
Okay.
Wait, it was a combined effort. I don't think it was just me.
Well, okay, I think I mentioned it? And then you saw Maximilian dude play it, and you were like, okay, now I kind of want to play this.
Max, Dave knows, Max can convince me of anything. Anything. If Max is playing it.
He was having fun.
He makes things look good.
It's because it's good.
I can't help it. Because I know he has good taste. He's a man of culture. He's a man of standards.
Speaking of which, we got to get back on that. But yeah.
Yeah, I know. What is Audible saying in the chat? Shout out to the troubleshooters here. They're very excited about Halo. I know that. The guys are going to be up on that for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm not sure. what was our other topics? Oh, the Twitch thing. The Twitch thing. Char, you want to take this topic and guide us?
I was trying to find... I had a thing, like a whole...
Touch on it real quick.
Discord, and I can't find it. Hold on.
Good old Twitch. Just winning all the time, right?
Yeah. There was a... Oh, man, where was it?
Revenue thing?
That yeah, was there's that. And the then hack. There's something else.
There was a hack.
Little bit more than that.
I think Wednesday or one of those days.
You know what's funny? I saw it happening because I'm in a different time zone. So, like, Twitter started to go crazy about it. And I was like, man, this is going to go nuts when people wake up.
Because we weren't awake yet, so you knew.
I saw it before it happened to everybody else. Let me see if I can find out what they have. What? Oh, God damn. I wish I brought up this thing.
Well, I could just give the gist, and if you want to look up details,
okay.
I guess.
Oh, I found it. Okay. It's just because there was a list that this one article had. Okay, so what happened? When was this? This was posted on the 6th. So it was like, midweek this week. So as we all know, on Twitch, there's been like a lot of like, there's been a lot of like bots and stuff and hacking and blah, blah, because Twitch has been suing, is it two individuals, I believe, or one individual or something, on
something like that,
just botting basically. So we've been going through it with the bots, but then this week, there was a massive data breach on Twitch, which revealed, the leak includes the following, 3 years worth of details regarding creator payouts on Twitch, the entirety of Twitch TV, quote, with comment history going back to its early beginnings, unquote, source code for the mobile, desktop, and video game console Twitch clients, the code related to proprietary SDKs and internal AWS services. I have no idea what those are, but that's what it was. An unreleased Steam competitor from Amazon Game Studios. Data on Twitch properties like CurseForge and IGDB. And Twitch's internal security tools were all leaked. Which is a lot of shit. And the leak is labeled as part one, quote, suggesting there would be more to come. So this person is apparently not done, which is insane.
Like a threat? Like they're like, oh, more is going to happen if you don't comply? Or what did they say? Yep.
So the big thing was everybody was like, change your password and make sure you got, you know, two-factor authentication on, whatever. Yeah, anyways. So there's that. But then the other side of that was they got the numbers from 28 months worth of revenue for all pretty much every Twitch streamer. On Twitch. And a lot of people were going crazy over that. Like, oh my God, these people are making millions of dollars. It's like,
duh.
Okay, well, one, that's not really a lot of money, to be quite honest with you, comparatively to like, what do you want to see the numbers from YouTube? That'll make you cry. like literally, I don't think that's like honestly the least of my worries. I was surprised by the numbers, but at the same time, it's like, if that number is before the Twitch cut and before those people pay taxes on that money, it's not a lot of money. Like, I mean, it's a lot of money to people who obviously don't make that money, but it's not a lot of money in the entertainment industry, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
the
media compared industry to different medias.
It's not very surprising, honestly.
Yeah,
it's not
insanely surprising either. Like, I don't know why people are going crazy over it, but yeah, so those numbers are for 28 months, and from my understanding, were, like I said before, all the deductibles that people have on that money. I don't know, but they're all crazy.
I wonder if that comes from the stereotype of like, oh, streaming's easy. And like maybe YouTubers, they think it's harder because they like do production more, or like...
It depends though.
Depends, yeah, like, of course.
I don't know who the top YouTubers are, but I'm pretty sure a lot of them are gonna be like, you know, more drama-based channels. Yeah. Not drama based, that's the wrong word, but you know what I mean? Like, they're more of like the more controversial kind of people, or they're very big companies, or you know, all this stuff.
I feel like people, a lot of viewers in general, are people who don't understand what it takes to stream. I feel like they look at YouTube more like TV, and then they look at Twitch and streaming as like, oh, you're just playing games, like, what's the big deal, you know? Like, you're not doing anything, but we all know we all have streamed. It's not easy and it's hard, you
it's
know?
It's not easy and it's not very lucrative. Like, I mean, sure, those big people make a lot of money, whatever, but it's like, there's so many people on Twitch. Like, there's so many
there
people on
YouTube.
There are
a small percent. So, remember we did the percents?
A tiny percent.
Remember
yeah.
that? We did that one day. We had the percents of like the top 20% and then how much the rest are making or not making, we should say. There's thousands and thousands of people who don't make a dime.
A lot.
Yeah, streaming is, yeah, streaming is not easy. Like, you know, just me streaming on Thursday night, that took a lot of preparation just for that stream. I had to check out my internet settings. I had to check and make sure the quality was good. Then I had to, like, hopefully play the game well and then deal with the chat. And it's like, people do this full time. It's not an easy thing to do at all. It's not just going live and being like, here I am. You got to do a lot of preparation before you even start.
Yeah.
It's like, here I am, pay me. Like, don't work like that. And it's like, let me make a living. Like,
and then there's all like the other factors that go into it. It's like, you gotta be consistent, you gotta have a schedule, you gotta, you know, you don't have to, but if you're like looking to make money off of it in some form or whatever, it's like a certain kind of like marketing that has to go into it, or you're never, it's never gonna happen, right? Which is hard in and of itself. And then the fact that you need to get discovered is like ridiculously like ridiculous.
It's
luck.
Hard.
It's crazy. Like it's actually it's actually crazy. So I don't know. And then people are like, oh yeah, I'll just turn on a camera and fucking game, and people will come to my stream. And I'm like, maybe. Like,
if only it were that easy. If it were that easy, I'd be making bank right now. If it were that easy, you know.
I don't want to throw this person, I won't say their name or whatever, but I literally had somebody come in to my stream and they followed me or whatever, and then they were in my DMs like almost immediately, and they were like, hey, I'd like it if you come to my stream sometime. I'm like, bro, between my life, my friends streaming, me going to work, I don't think I'm going to have time to come to your stream. And then you just follow. It's like, what do you expect?
Follow
like
for
a follow?
Yeah.
This is not Instagram
F2F,
or Twitter.
Char, F2F. Like,
fuck that shit. No.
That still happens? Like, dude, it's 2021. You still follow for follow?
So I tried to not, like, you know, I tried to give him a nice message back because I wasn't trying to be like facetious or whatever. But I, like, you know, I give him a nice message and I'm like, well, if you just, you know, you stream stuff, people will show up. Like, I didn't know what to say really, because like I pull like 6 viewers. Like, what? Like, you know, like,
here's my advice.
Why are you asking me to come your stream, bro? Like, what the fuck?
You're a big deal. Hey, man, there's people who kill for like 6 followers or 6 viewers, you know, because when you got none or one, that seems like a lot. Like, yeah,
I guess so. If you're streaming to 0 people, I was like, I've streamed to 0 people. Also, like, if you're streaming and you don't get your friends to show up, I don't, like, what? I'm so confused. Do people not have friends? Like, I don't.
I mean, it could be that, or just they
don't know.
They don't share it. Like, at first, I didn't share with my family and stuff like that.
Oh, my family? No.
For friends, like, they didn't know I streamed for a minute. I just kind of just did it.
I streamed because my friends were streaming, and they were like, you should stream. And I was like, okay, I'll do a couple streams, and then they all showed up, like...
I was thinking like in real life friends, but yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, I had the online friends. They supported. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
they came through.
So if, I don't know. It's I don't know.
Same yeah, theory. Interesting, but
6 viewers is 90% of the. Yeah, I know.
There's definitely.
I know this, and I'm not like I try not to. I don't let it go to my head. I really don't. I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm not an affiliate anymore of Twitch. So like,
you want to talk about that?
Oh,
let everyone know what happened.
We can.
Yeah.
Want it?
Yeah, okay. Might as well. Shoot.
So I'm going it's supposed to launch next year now, but there's another streaming platform, up and coming streaming platform, that's going to be going into beta next year called Altair, which is Altair. I can't spell. And so in order to stream over there full time, because I'm going to just go over there, I think I'm going to do a little bit of a restream transition. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But in order to do that, I had to cancel my affiliate contract with Twitch, basically. So I asked them to cancel my affiliate. So I'm no longer an affiliate of Twitch.
Oh, where's my money going to go? I have to wait for Altair.
I have a tip jar. So
True. No. Yeah, sure. You've been
That's what happens.
Planning
That's
this for a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, I can drop a link here for you guys if anybody in the chat is interested.
That Altair is funny because the logo, it looks just like Carl's Jr.'s logo. Like
Dave, it does!
You know, it's the fast food? Cute, it's the star like with like the little face on it.
Yeah. They're not starting just yet. Just going to be next year.
No. So.
Yeah.
I could talk about how it's going to work if you want me to.
Yeah, you give like a brief little something.
So I think the cutoff date is over. I think they cut it off on September. I think it was originally October, but I think they made it September. Basically, it was kind of like, it sounds kind of weird, but because it's a startup or whatever, they needed investors and all that stuff. And if you supported them for like, I think it was like minimum $10, then you're a part of the, what they call the visionary group, which are the people that are able to stream when the service goes live. So basically, they're going to have it in seasons, where season zero is what they're calling it, is basically like the beta phase where all of the visionaries are going to be able to stream to their platform to like kind of like test servers, test how things are going to go, get out the kinks, blah, blah. And that's going to happen for about two to three months. Yeah, you all can read it on their blog. They've got all their information. But so they're going to do that like little test period called season zero. They're going to do that. And then after season zero completes, they go into season one, which is actually the full launch, which is like everybody can make an account. They can like go stream, they can view, they can, you know, do all this stuff. So so I am a part of the visionary directive. So when it actually launches, I'm going to try to restream. I'm going to see what happens.
It'll be integrated into Restream. It'll be all part of that.
Hopefully. If it's not, then I'll just be over there anyways. But the reason I say I actually needed to cancel my affiliate is because you can't Restream when you're an affiliate, because in your contract it says supposed you can't do to. That.
A lot of people do it. I've done it
too. A lot of people
too.
Do it. Yeah. But I'd rather not get dinged for it, you know what I mean? So yeah.
We're technically not supposed to. For everyone listening, if you're a Twitch affiliate, you're technically not supposed to Restream to like YouTube or anywhere. Yeah.
But yeah, so because my friends are doing it too, we were all like, oh shit, Restream. Also, I also had the idea of like going back and forth. So like being on Twitch and then streaming on
transitioning.
The thing about that though is in the contract in Twitch, my friend told me this. In the affiliate contract on Twitch, you can't stream anywhere else for 24 hours after you've streamed on Twitch, or like have the VOD or whatever. You can't restream that VOD anywhere else for 24 hours or something. I would have to actually read the contract wording, So anyways, I was like, okay, well, I'll just cancel it anyways because it's all of this stupid stuff. But yeah, anyways, sorry, going on that tangent. I'm really excited about it because it's like,
it's,
you know,
cool.
It's new. It's like when Mixer was new, we were excited for the new platform. I have a lot more faith in this than I did in Mixer.
Any quality like promises they're making, or like, how is it going to be when you like the quality options for streaming?
I would have to ask or look through the blogs. They have a Discord that I'm a part of.
The actual stream quality. Like, if they could get it real nice.
I think it's going to be pretty dang good. But I think that is obviously that's one of the things they're going to have to be tested.
Yeah.
Yeah, because YouTube allows you to stream up to 4K 60, which I don't ever. But I do 1440p 60, which works really good. Looks really good on YouTube. 1080p looks terrible, but Twitch.
I would imagine
looks,
it goes
that would
up
be me.
Twitch looks good. At 1080p, they have a good quality, but like, so I'm curious about this new place and see what they offer.
Yeah, I'm not sure about all that because I don't really pay attention to that stuff. But yeah, definitely a question that's probably been asked. I might be able to.
I'm sure they'll address it, or you'll at least test it and see what's up. Let me know, and I'll check it out if I can watch you.
I liked Mixer. Mixer was cool, but
it was
just like so. Just died, so
yeah. The mistakes were made, but yeah, the quality at Mixer was phenomenal. And then you had the streaming you could do with the friends, what they call it, the co-op streaming or something.
That was
really cool. Like Twitch, you could do that if you're partnered, not if you're affiliate though, which is crazy
stupid.
At the end of the day, Well, I was just gonna say, like, Twitch and these mistakes, it just seems like it's one thing after another. It's like, if they're not getting hacked, it's they're doing something stupid. And even recently, we didn't even talk about the fact of the whole paint having your viewers pay to boost. God. To boost your streams? That's a whole other thing.
It's all overrun with greed these days.
Yeah, it's like they don't want to do the work to put us into being discovered. It's like our own viewers have to pay for us to get boosted and get discovered. That's just unreal, unfair, and I wouldn't ask any of my viewers to do that. It's ridiculous. So that's another thing. So it's like things like that, and then you got the hate raids, you got the other YouTube, the streamers leaving to YouTube, that's like another thing going on, you know, that's happening. I think Twitch is going to be getting sued. I mean, the whole Dr. Disrespect thing. There's a lot of going on with Twitch. People getting banned. They don't know why they're banned. It's just stuff like that, one thing after another. So people are leaving sometimes and going to YouTube. And then Char, you know, even at the smaller levels, right, you got this new thing coming and you're like, bye. Bye, Twitch.
I literally, you know? Like, even before the hate raids, like, honestly, it wasn't even the hate raids that would, like, what pushed me away from it. It was literally, like, one of my mods, Chaos Origin. He was like, hey, man, I'm really excited about this thing. Let me tell you about it. Let me show you, at least, and then you can make a decision for yourself. I was like, all right, cool. So I, like, looked into it, and then literally, like, I think, like, a week or two after I actually, like, you know, was in the Discord and was chilling or whatever, then the hate raids happened and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell, man? It was so dumb. So not
the problem, like, you know. The problem these sites have is that they're in power for too long.
Yeah.
And they think they can get away with anything. Yeah. And then they start getting lawsuits thrown at them.
Yeah.
Then that's when you have competition come up and they can be gone just like that.
They're too complacent at this point. Like, right? You know what I mean? Like, and I don't even know. Like, Altair was like, I think it was like, that must have been a year now or whatever that they've had this going on. Like, so it's not like it like just popped up or anything. You know what I mean? I'm just excited that there's another kind of like competition. Like, Twitch needs competition. Like, how long has Twitch been a thing?
Years. Remember, it was Justin TV, and then
like over 10 years now.
Yeah, and then Mixer came close, crashed and burned, and then there's nothing. There's literally nothing. And I'm not counting YouTube. YouTube is terrible streaming service. I'm sorry.
But, like, has its pros and cons.
It has its perks, but it's not like it doesn't act like a streaming service. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not. Yeah. So there's that.
I've been hearing, like, Tim the Tatman and a couple others hint that stuff is coming to YouTube. I don't want to quote them or say, oh, it means, like, these certain features. I have no idea. But I've heard kind of bigger streamers say things like that. So who knows?
They do need to bring
certain things. Like gifting memberships and, like, making it more of a community-based and, like, searchable through streams. Have like its own section. Like, there's just different things they could do to make it better. We'll see. At the end of the day, I mean, with Twitch messing up, and if newcomers like Altair could make some noise, I'm for it, because I want competition to change for the better for us.
YouTube is good for one-off type of streaming. Mm-hmm. Like, if you do a podcast every week, it's scheduled. YouTube's good for that. It's good for discussion based topics like that. And it's also good for like debuting a game like Metroid Dread the other night. It was good for that. But like, if I'm going to be like a full-time streamer on YouTube, I don't know if it could work very well.
It just, it depends. Some people it works, some doesn't. Like me, I haven't had too much success with that. But then again, I'm not super consistent. So it just depends. But I dropped the link in the Twitter again to get in here. For the chat, everyone listening, give your prediction list, because we're going to do one before we leave today. What do we think is going to be nominated as for Game of the Year this year at the VGAs? We had Jeff Keighley, the homie, announce that the VGAs are happening again, of course, in December, I believe on the 9th. A Thursday, like usual, and so I figured we could discuss our little predictions for what's going to be nominated for Game of the Year so far.
I got my five.
Okay, who wants to go first?
I do have five? I do have five. Okay.
You asked for five, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's usually what they give, right? Like five or six, something like that.
I've got like six-ish.
I don't even have five, but I'll come up with something. But...
Okay, wait, pause. You freaking said at the beginning, you're like, yo, give us five, give me five, you know. And now you don't even have five? Erica, what the fuck are you doing?
When I said I train you for being on your toes, I do it to myself. It's fun. Like, Erica, you got it. You'll be all right.
Erica, what's your list?
I'm not going first. Dave's going first. Our guest is going first.
I got five games plus two runners up already. But I don't think these runners up will do anything.
Yeah.
But
let's go.
Go for it.
So this is just my list, but whatever. I got Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. I got Monster Hunter Rise. I got Returnal. Mm-hmm. I got Resident Evil Village, and I got Metroid Dread as my five nominees for Game of the Year.
That's a good list. Yeah.
And runners up, I have Deathloop and Scarlet Nexus. I haven't played those, but they rated kind of, you know, pretty well. So okay. I don't know. We'll have to see. But
Scarlet Nexus probably won't. But yeah, that's a good list. I would say the Ratchet and Clank. I thought about that one. I was like, maybe. Let me throw this at you guys first, though, before Char goes. Demon's Souls came out after the deadline last year. It's a 92 on Metacritic.
Oh.
It's From Software. It's freaking Demon's Souls. Do you guys think it has a chance?
I forgot about that. Yeah,
I almost forgot too. And I'm like, let me write that down because it's possible. I remember when Sekiro was nominated and I didn't think it was going to win because it's From Software. I'm like, yeah, I wanted to win, but I don't think it's going to. So I feel like I'm not going to overlook From Software, and I think it could get in there. 92 on Metacritic,
definitely. It should be nominated, to be honest. I just forgot about it.
Me too. Last year. So I'm just throwing it out there if you guys wanted to like add it or whatever, because it's in mine. Yeah.
I don't know. My list feels kind of like a meme list.
Let's see it. Let's hear it.
Well, maybe not a meme list, but you know. Number one, Deathloop.
Okay.
All right. Just looking at the games that came out and what.
Okay.
Because we know. The nominations feel like bullshit all the time. They always feel like a little bit. There's always one in there that feels like bullshit. You know what I mean? Anyways, so I feel like Deathloop is going to be in there. Just, I don't know why. I feel like it's going to go in there. Anyways, I put Metroid Dread, Returnal. I actually put Kena, but I'm not sure about that one now.
No. Take it out.
The last one's a hopeful one, but I don't think it's probably going to do it, is Tales of Arise. And then I also put Monhun Rise. I feel like Monhun Rise could replace one of them, though.
I could see Monster Hunter Rise in there.
I also wrote Nier for some reason, but I'm not sure if many people pay attention to Nier.
No way.
That's a remaster, right? That's
not a remaster.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Does it count though?
I was going to say that about Demon's Souls though, because I know people have told me, but it's a remake.
It's a remake.
Demon's Souls is a remake, and Nier is a remaster.
But people have argued with me that Demon's Souls will not be in there because it's a remake. And I'm like,
have we had remakes in the list before?
Resident Evil 2 remake was nominated for Game of the Year.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I said, Dave. I'm like, I was, man, I was on it. Yeah. But people, there are people who don't think Demon's Souls should be in there or will be in there. It's a thing.
That's why
he said GG Strive. I totally forgot about Strive. Strive could be in there too.
That's a good game. That's why I didn't say anything about Skyward Sword HD, because that's just a remaster.
Yeah, that won't be in there.
Where's the remaster nominees? Like, we need like a separate
best remaster of the year.
Remaster every Nintendo of the year. Game. Oh my god. God damn it.
So, when you guys said Monster Hunter Rise, I could see that. I feel like that could be in there.
You haven't even played the goddamn game.
That's not the point of this, Char. You're just whatever.
I can't tell you.
You didn't play your whole list.
If you get a power cord, you should play it.
Hold on, your whole list you did not play either. So that's the point. We're saying the nominees, not what we feel is the game of the year.
Okay, well, Monster Hunter Rise is the game of the year. You know that already. I've been saying that since the game came out.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I
I want to say one more thing.
Go ahead.
They're arguing about what's a remake and whatever. Mm-hmm. The thing is, guys in the chat, is that they never put a stipulation. Geoff Keighley never said anything about that can't be nominated because
Yeah.
It could be any game that's nominated. So whether or not you think Demon's Souls is a remake or a remaster, it doesn't matter. Because they haven't stipulated whether or not that would be not available to be voted on. So
yeah, I mean, they've let freaking unfinished games in there, like PUBG and stuff, remember? That was like,
yeah,
nominated.
The beta of that game. Actually, yeah, it was like a beta. It's still in beta, isn't it?
Overwatch 1 1 year. It's like, that was only multiplayer only. Shit, like, yeah,
Shadow Drop Control nominee? Like, what the fuck?
Oh, that was a wild year when it was all Control and Death Stranding.
And we were like, what the fuck is this game? I've never seen this game in my life.
That's the reason I didn't think Sekiro had a chance. I'm like, oh, Kojima got this wrapped up. That's what I thought.
For real.
But then it didn't end up that way.
To its credit, Control's actually a good game, but like, what the fuck? I never
game
heard
of the
of
year
it.
Though. I don't know.
Game of the year, maybe not. I don't know about that.
So
Control's like a 7.5 out of 10 for me. Yeah, it's so like 7. It's good, 5. But it's not
good.
Great.
Good, not great.
The DLC is really good though.
No, Boyfriend Dungeon, Char. That's not in your game of the year.
Boyfriend Dungeon. Wait, is the expansion out? I gotta play the expansion.
Is it gonna be Jonah?
What?
The DLC.
The DLC is bringing your boy and the hammer.
Hey, we're returning.
Is the DLC out? Can somebody confirm this for us? I think the DLC might be out.
Speaking of returning, does Returnal have a chance?
Of course. Are you kidding me?
Of course, it does.
Returnal has a chance.
Here's my thing. If I add Metroid, I feel like they both can't be in it. Like, I feel like they're not because they're super similar. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like the space stuff or like what it is, but I feel like I don't know if I could see them both in there. I think it'd be really awesome if they're both in there.
I think they're gonna be both in there.
Returnal and Metroid.
Returnal's a different enough game though. It's a rogue-like
right,
game,
of course,
with Metroid elements, kind of like. So Metroid Dread is a totally different game, even though there's some similarities, but
I know, but I guess it's just like, because I looked at Returnal, I mean, yeah, it's a roguelike, but when I was playing it, like the atmosphere, I was like, oh, this could be like a Metroid atmosphere. And like, it's just got like something about it. But anyways, that'd be cool because you'd have Selene, you got Samus, you got the two girls in there, you know, that'd be cool. And then, okay, so I had that and then Demon's Souls, of course, which this is like the Erica Awards, by the way, so far. But I also threw in Resident Evil Village. I threw that in there. And then the indie, because you got to throw a little indie in there, I put Death's Door. And if it's not Death's Door, I was going to say it could be It Takes Two, but honestly, I don't think It Takes Two would be in there. I think that'll get like multiplayer game. Or it'll be nominated for
an
like...
An indie category, though?
They do.
They do, but
for
they
best indie game?
They will slip an indie into the game of the year sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. Hades, I think.
Yeah,
Hades
was there, and then there's been others. Yeah. So that's my list. I think it's pretty good.
Leaky with the Leaky Awards too there. Oh my gosh. I don't think
the Leaky Awards. What are you talking about?
They said Tales of Arise, Monster Hunter Stories 2, Monster Hunter Rise, Scarlet Nexus, and Persona 5 Scrap. I don't think it, bro. Monster Hunter Stories 2 is great.
I don't think Scarlet Nexus is going to get
nominated.
In there. Scarlet Nexus
is spooky. I don't know if it'll get in there. Yeah, I'll be surprised if it gets in there. It'll be cool.
I'm thinking best like action or RPG or that's not even RPG.
Which one? Oh, Scarlet Nexus.
Is it? It's like an action RPG, I guess. Yeah, it's like an action RPG.
Elements. I don't know.
It'll be in one of those.
Yeah.
And since Halo doesn't come out until after the awards, it's not going to be nominated for anything.
No.
Of course, you'll have the multiplayer.
Best multiplayer, yeah.
The beta. Here's the stress test. It wins. That'd be wild. No, but like you're gonna have your multiplayer one. Battlefield would be in there. COD. Yeah. I think they'll just make it. Wait, maybe not. Isn't the cutoff like November something? Like mid-November?
It's like yeah.
Battlefield. It's like November. Would Battlefield make it? Maybe they just make it for the cutoff.
I think so.
Yeah. Huh, okay, so...
like second week in November, I believe, or something like that.
I think next month they'll do, like, the nominee list, and I'm sure we'll cover that shard then and stuff. But yeah, I just wanted to do the Game of the Year one. I figured we'd do it, because what else is coming out to really make us think, we gotta wait for this other game? It's like, I feel like the big bangers have all came out already.
Yeah.
Game of the Year-wise, or discussion-wise, right? Am I miss... What else is... Anything coming out in the next couple weeks? I think we're kind of done, right? I mean, as far as like big
I'm
games.
Not sure.
I think they have a new Mario Party coming out.
Oh yeah.
That's that game of the year.
game of the party game of the year.
Shoot.
Oh, that's the only release, right? Yeah,
that's oh my funny. God, what if that's in the multiplayer section?
Family, that's family game.
It's like they invent categories on that show sometimes, just for like one game sometimes that comes out.
It's crazy.
That Nintendo effect. Best game.
Animal Crossing game of the year.
Right?
Best. We haven't even talked about WarioWare. Where does WarioWare go?
Oh gosh.
Best multiplayer game probably.
I always think it's so funny when it's like family game and every nominee is Nintendo. It happens all the time.
I mean, nobody else would be making family games out here, apparently.
It's like they can't lose.
Best kitty game of the year.
Yeah, best party game. Best game that features Mario. Oh, shoot.
Oh, well, my God.
What if they did that, Char? How upset would you be?
So mad. Oh, my God. So mad, dude.
Oh, gosh. I think there's a couple people in the chat. Let me see if they said anything. Shout out to Hannibal. He said Fist will be nominated and Mappo is going to be best character. He's talking about Fist. That character, Mappo. Oh
my Fist God. Is a good game. I enjoyed
it's
it.
It's funny. Oh. I enjoyed it. What
I know
else
Erica
was
didn't
there.
Like it, but.
Yeah, it just didn't click. I did nobody put. Okay, so Born Gamer said Tales of Arise, Bravely Default 2. Oh, yeah, that's the one that said Strikers and Nexus, Scarlet Nexus. I don't know, man. That's a niche like, game of the year, maybe.
That's the thing, is like all of us RPG gamers are all like
leaky, yeah.
All
I see
of the RPGs to be there, but they're not gonna be there. Like I think Tales of Arise has a good chance to be there.
Biomune. Best animal character or something. No,
best rodent character of game of the year.
If you guys if
Fist
like,
or Biomune.
Yeah.
Those responses, if that was for best RPG, I'd be like, okay, yeah, you got it.
Sounds yeah, about for right. sure.
Yeah. Keenan. Oh, you want to read that, Char? That's for you.
Did you see Char get a fresh cut? Like your cut G.
G? Why is he calling you G?
I don't know. My name is C. Haircut? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, Char got a haircut. Looking fresh, Keenan. Appreciate that.
I don't know why everybody goes crazy when I get my haircut. I get my haircut every like 2 months, guys.
I told like, Char before the show, before Dave got here, I was like, Char, you gotta get some gel, slick it back.
Why?
I think it'll look good.
I'll do
it'll
when
look
it's
good.
Long. I'll do it when it's longer, not when it's this length.
All right, give it a couple weeks, I guess. A month or something.
Ends with you. Oh, I gotta play that. That's for after.
I heard that's good too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, shout out to the chat.
Rarely do those ever get nominated for Game of the Year. No. Those niche JRPGs.
They really don't.
It's rare. It's really rare. Lucky if they get into the actual RPG sometimes, because these Western ones sometimes take it. Which is fine.
Right. They're fake RPGs.
Yeah, but good show though, you guys. Anything we left out? You guys wanted to say or?
Do we not really.
Forget anything?
Did we? I don't know. I don't think so.
I think we're good. I had a good time. This show's good, considering like, man, I'm tired. I did the other show, and I'm working out here, Char. You know, I'm trying to promote the podcast. I'm like the face. You know, I'm out there in the gaming streets trying to hand out flyers. That's what I'm doing. Even though, contrary to what people think, I was in your chat last night, Char, for a bit before I passed out. I was so tired.
Yeah.
The slander on my name in that chat that Erica doesn't do anything. Erica's, it's all Char. Char is the backlog. That was said. I'm like, I'm sitting there in the chat like the
disc. Who was that? Was that Robert?
That was Robert, I think.
Robert was the instigator on that, I think.
Keenan actually had my back. Shout out to Keenan. But the slander on my name. Oh, Erica. Char, just do the show yourself. You don't need Erica.
And that Char, was really funny.
And your response was low-key hurtful, man. You're like, well, I don't have the graphics and I don't have the, what did you say? Like the, like, I guess like the overlays.
I don't have the overlay.
So I'm like, the way I took it was like, oh, that's all you need? You're just straight up, you think you could do this all by yourself. You just need the graphics. Like you were considering that thing. You're like, oh, I just don't have the graphics, so I can't do it. Instead of saying like, I need Erica. Erica's very important. Erica is the lifeblood of the show. No, I just need the graphics.
Erica, I'll have you on as a guest.
Wow, so done right now. So done. The disrespect.
Oh, man. It's all in good fun.
My heart, blood, and tears, or whatever the hell you say, that goes into this show. My heart, blood, and tears. And sweat. Char just using Erica. Facts, Hannibal, I think so. Oh, the assets. Yeah, they were talking about the assets that Char provides. Yeah. And I'm like, what are we talking about?
Oh my God. I can't.
No, the truth is, I love doing the show with Char. I feel like we make a great team.
I do too. It's great. Erica's great. Guys, Erica's great.
You say that now. That wasn't the vibe last night. Where was that last night, Char? When I wasn't there to say anything.
I was streaming off stream.
Huh?
Don't worry. You guys really like each other. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
In the chat.
Yeah.
No, we're really gonna fight. We're gonna build up this drama. Okay, by the end of the year, we're gonna have a big blowout, big fight on stream, and then this show is gonna go on hiatus for like 3 weeks. And then we're gonna make up.
You're here first.
Yeah.
Jerry,
wait for it to happen.
Jerry.
You know, it's fun doing this show, and I hope you guys enjoyed. It was a great episode. Dave, thank you so much for being here. It's fun having you.
Play Metroid Dread, guys. It's awesome.
Yeah. If you want to go ahead and let people know where to find you if they don't know you yet, which they should by now, but just in case, let them know what's up.
Yeah, Super Metal Dave 64 on YouTube and Twitter. Check me out. I do tech videos and Metroid videos, Metroid Prime videos, Metroid Dread. I've been doing that a lot lately. Yeah, check me out. You'll like it.
Yeah. Dave's got great content over there. Super, like, really good production and just the passion behind those games like Metroid. It's like the lifeblood of that channel, which is awesome. Char, what's your lifeblood? Yeah. It's clearly not me. So what's up? Who's your what's your lifeblood over there? What? What's the core? What's the core
like
of your content?
Or something. Like, what is this? I'm so confused.
We're not? All right.
Oh, shit.
Just kidding.
Erica just be dating everybody out here. All right.
What the hell?
You know what I'm talking about. You can find me at DreamPixeled everywhere, pretty much. Obviously, I'm still streaming on Twitch. Just because I'm not an affiliate doesn't mean I'm not over there 4 days a week like usual. Because I am. So if you can, catch me over there, I guess. And on Twitter and stuff. And thanks. How'd I do?
Oh, it's a good outro. Good. You're getting better. It's been like 2 years. You're getting better, Char, at the outro. Slowly.
It's weird. I don't like.
You don't like doing outros.
I don't like doing it. It's weird.
Yeah.
Advertising yourself? # weird, man. I don't know.
I feel like I like doing that. Like if I'm a guest or something, but I'll forget things. Like I'll forget to mention like the podcast or like.
Delta says, what's the core of your content? I stream 4 days a week. So I guess that's the core of my content. Do I have content? I have content, guys? What? That's weird.
Char is an amazing and valued member, co-host of this podcast.
Okay, did you have that written down somewhere? Because you're like looking down at a script or something.
I'm looking at the chat. The chat is literally boom right there. I'm looking. I see Merc.
Sure. Let me check my
Merc, Hannibal, Delta, Spida. I see him right there.
Wait. Where is the script? There it is. Okay, what's my line again? Yes, okay.
A script. You think I got time to be writing scripts? What the heck? As lazy as it is. We all know this. Anyways, you guys, good show. Again, you can catch us on, you know, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/thebacklogpod. You can see extra content like our after shows and things like that. You can also join the Discord through there if you become a member, or you can hit up my Twitch or pretty much hit me up in any way if you want to join the Discord. We actually threw in some not safe for work clips from the backlog after show in there.
Erica's actually obsessed with not safe for work content. I'm just
not even. You told me I wasn't doing enough. Now I'm obsessed.
I literally told you to just make a freaking channel in the Discord and then
not do anything.
I didn't touch it and you're
distinctly remember you giving me a hard time for not posting anything. You did that. You're no, you playing dumb right now. So I posted some things. We had some
you posted interesting... some shit, and now we can't get her to shut up about it. So this is great. It's great. It's great.
Anyways, yeah, we have fun over there.
Erica's horny on Maine now, and it's kind of funny.
What?
You're horny on Maine, and it's kind of funny.
I don't know. Anyways, you guys, we're out of here. Thanks for watching and listening. Bye. Hope you have a great night or day or whatever you're doing. And we'll catch you guys in 2 weeks. Have a great one.